The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1. Text now to 51551 or email mooney@rte.ie.
I meant to mention to you last week, I met a guy in London recently and he told me he was being rewarded for 20 years service of work. 20 years service of work. Now, I remember my father had worked 25 years. He got a gold watch, which faded after about 2 weeks. But this guy's reward was, with all of his colleagues who had served 20 years and more, some up to 40 years, and they were all brought to London for a weekend break, and they were given a catalogue, right, wait for this now, to choose from a number of prizes depending on whether you were 20 years, 30 years or 40 years. And you could choose a gift to the value of 500 or 600 or 700 or to a maximum of £1,000 sterling. And he chose a gift to the value of £500, which he thought was fantastic. So he got himself a brand new telly for himself and his loved one back home. And I was thinking, a gift catalogue? When you've reached a milestone in your working career? Does it happen here in Ireland? Do you get a gift catalogue to choose from? Can you let me know? Text 51551 or email the programme today. On the show, we've got numismatist Michael Kelly, who was a regular on the old Mooney Show. He's fantastic. A numismatist is a guy who can tell you all about coins and their value. So if you have any coins under the sofa or in that big jar under the bed next to the potty, get in touch. 51551. And he might be able to put a value on them. He'll also be telling us what's out there. We'll be looking in on the Lep Scarecrow Festival. That's in West Cork. I was there last year. It's amazing. They've scarecrows all over the town, all manner, shape and size of scarecrows, and somebody's going to be winning a great prize. I think they've even got the twins, you know, the rowers from Cork, the O'Donovans, isn't that what their names, as scarecrows in the town? So if you're in that area, have a look out. Irish soul sensation Brian Deedy is going to be singing. He is fantastic. And as usual, we have a fabulous prize for our quiz, tonight's bed and breakfast with dinner at the Heritage Killinard, a stunning five-star hotel in County Laois. Now, to be in with a chance of winning this prize, you need to take part in our quiz. All you have to do is text your name to 51551, and then Sinead will go through everybody, see how good you are. You've got to be good at general knowledge, you know yourself, and don't be shy. You know, you've got to come on there and you've got to talk and tell us a little bit about yourself and then take part in the quiz. But it's a terrific prize. Do it now. But first, I want to go back to last week's programme because we've got a huge reaction to the interview with Breda and Des Smith from Killoughlin in County Westmeath. They share the story of the tragic death of Jenna, the youngest of their seven children, who they lost in a car crash only very recently. Now, since we broadcast that interview, a further nine people have lost their lives on Irish roads, bringing further heartbreak to families and friends of the victims. Our deepest sympathies to each and every one of the families and friends. It's a horrible, horrible thing to happen. So I think it's appropriate we start the programme by reflecting on some of your views.
Fair play to that quiz winner for passing his prize to a contestant who recently lost a family member. Lovely gesture.
Such a beautiful piece of radio this evening. I'm always overwhelmed and proud of the kindness of Irish people. And well done, Mr. Scargill, the quiz winner.
I didn't hear your programme last week, but I did hear playback this morning. I was in floods then, and I'm in floods now. God bless those people, and fair play to that man, Jeff. It restores your faith in human kindness.
That's Jay in Cork.
What an amazing family. And Des is right. People are amazing. Michael Kay.
My heart is breaking listening to the poor parents talking there. God help them and mind them.
I won't easily forget that item. Such a big cross for obviously good people. Their attitude is evidence of innate goodness in rural Ireland.
And finally, Sabina emailed.
I was listening to your programme last Saturday and again tonight, and it has brought tears to my eyes. Des is such a kind man. When my sister Bridget was alive, she lived on her own in the country. Des or his father drove the bingo bus, and Bridget always went to bingo with them. When they were driving her home, they always made sure she got into the house safely and often had tea with her. Des and Bridget deserve all the kindness they're getting because they are such caring people. It was a most moving broadcast, and congratulations, Derek, for taking the time to interview them.
Well, I can assure you that the credit goes entirely to Breda and Des for sharing their story with us, and we send the Smith family all of our best wishes once again this evening. The podcast of that interview, and indeed all of our items, is available on our website, rte.ie/The Mooney Show. And if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please do get in touch. You can email mooney@rte.ie.
The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1.
Email Mooney at rte.ie or text 51551 and do it now. Let me tell you about this coin that was found in the UK during the week. This is just going to make you sick. It's going to make you sick. It's going to make you sick. A new gold coin. No, sorry, a rare gold coin. A rare gold coin given to a little boy by his grandfather, now worth an estimated £250,000, is said to be sold at auction next month. The Queen Anne, is it Vigo? 5 guinea gold coin, one of Britain's rarest coins, will be sold by Essex auctioneers Bonningtons. Isn't that a great name? Next month. It was taken to the auctioneers by a Hertfordshire resident who was given it by his grandfather when he was just a little boy. When I was just
a
little boy.
He used to play pirates and he kept all the money in a chest. Right.
He kept all the money in his chest?
He had a little chest. You know, the way
the
kids
little boy.
Have this little thing, yeah, yeah. That you keep money in. And he'd be playing pirates and this was the pirate treasure. But in the middle of it was Queen Anne gold 5 guinea.
This is the voice of Michael Kelly, our new mismatist. He's the guy who's going to make you rich tonight. Never mind your lotto business. You probably already have the fortune under the cover somewhere. Michael, go on. And tell me this Queen Anne, what about it?
Well, Queen Anne was very short-lived queen.
She was short as well.
And she was small too. Yeah, she was indeed. But her coins are very collectible. The few that have survived in perfect condition, they're pretty scarce ones.
£250,000.
Well, it's...
Sell it quick, by the way.
You'll probably find there were only about 500 or 600 of these. British fleet captures gold in captures a Spanish galleon in a battle of in the place called Vigo. Right, mm-hmm. That's why it's called a Vigo, five guineas.
Okay.
And the gold that was captured, Spanish gold, was melted down and made into coins in England. And this was one of them.
So would it have been gold?
Oh,
is it gold,
solid gold. Absolutely,
solid gold.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I heard
Jill Kirby, you know, the financial journalist. Jill was on another station during the week. She was talking about, she's always talking about buying gold.
Yeah.
She was saying that when she came to Ireland, Fado, correct me if I'm wrong, if you're listening, Jill, an ounce of gold was about €300 or pounds
correct.
Or something, the equivalent of her insurance policy, her health insurance.
Right, yeah.
And now today, the
it's
same ounce of gold is worth the same policy as she has today.
Oh, go away.
So it holds its value is what she was lovely analogy, I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
But the royalty and coins and money. Talk to me about gun money now, because you were showing this stuff off last week at the RDS at the coin fair.
Yes, indeed.
Gun money. What's gun money?
Well, gun money is, we're talking about 1689, 1690. We're talking about James II coming to Ireland to reclaim the throne of England. He came to Ireland to the Jacobean War against William III. William III was King of England, King Billy, as we know him as. James II wanted to reclaim the throne of England, so he came to Ireland to raise an army because there was a lot of sympathy here for a Catholic king. He was supported by the King of France, who was also a Catholic. When he arrived in Ireland, of course, he marched up through Ireland to Dublin, trying to collect men along the way. But he had no money to pay them. This was the problem. He didn't have piles of gold and silver. He had no captured gold and silver. So what he did was very clever. He actually melted down old cannon guns and old broken church bells that he picked up along the way, and he made brass money, shillings, half crowns, crowns, sixpences, and threepences, and this was given out to his potential recruits into the army. A very clever thing he did, though. He raised about, I don't know, about 20,000 men actually came to fight for him, and he offered them that. When I become the King of England, when I win this battle against William III.
What's your caveats? Just
if and when. Yeah. Oh, yes, when.
Just when.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah.
He was fairly definite about that. When I shall redeem this brass money for coin of the realm, silver. You can arrive and hand in your brass sixpence or your brass half crown, and we will give it to you.
That's
in
if you
silver.
Lived.
That's if you lived. Of
could
course.
A family member? Could
well,
you pass
in
it
the
on?
But in the meanwhile, this money passed as currency amongst the army and amongst the various shops and things that they did. It was recognised as money here in Ireland. So of course. He didn't want 20,000 Irishmen arriving on Monday morning, the day he was crowned King of England. So he did a very clever thing. He put the month of the year on the coin. And it's one of the, I think it's the first instance. It's one of only two instances in the world where a month goes on the coin as well.
So the month wasn't the actual month it was minted?
Well, no, it was the month that the guy joined the army. James's Army.
So if I joined in May...
If you joined in May, you were paid with a coin that had May as well as the date printed on it.
Okay.
And that meant that you could come in any year, as long as it was May...
And as long as he was king.
...to collect your shilling. Yeah, yeah.
And I would put this in, be redeemed for the... Yeah. King's money, yeah. Sort of thing. The
of
Queen's
course,
sort of thing.
Poor old James lost the battle. The Battle of the Boyne was beaten. James skedaddled down to Waterford, hopped on a boat back to France, and left the poor old Irish to themselves. William moved down to camped outside Finglas there, and he sent his scouts into Dublin Castle because the gates of Dublin Castle were wide open, and they discovered it's empty. It's not an ambush. There's nobody here. So James proclaimed himself. Winner of the whole battle, the whole thing. And he actually offered anyone who had one of these brass coins, right?
How much are they worth?
Well, that's just to show you the difference.
You might be getting it back.
Between a good one and a
bad one.
You
might be getting that back either. You have to throw me two. One is, well, you can't say mint condition because they're so old.
Yeah.
You know, but they still look good.
But it's perfect. Yeah.
You can make the head out in both of them. He had a fine head of hair in them, a very curly hair, hadn't he?
Yeah. Anyway, most people threw them away, but William offered 1 penny in the shilling. In other words, if you had a shilling, you could arrive King Billy and he would give you 1 penny for it. But of course, the minute you produced the coin, the only way you could have that coin was to be in the opposing army. So you were arrested for treason and thrown into jail.
Oh, my goodness.
Thrown
gracious.
In the cellars. So everything was thrown out. Really, people just dumped it.
So how much is it worth today?
The condition, the one you're holding there now, condition is about 80 to 90 euros.
It's about the size, a little bit bigger than a 2 euro coin.
Yeah.
And it's made of brass.
It's brass, yes.
This one I have is a little bit dirty, so, but it's got King James's.
James the Second, yeah.
Second head on it.
Yeah.
Okay, and the crown on the back.
Yeah, it's 1689 and it is the month of May.
This one is the month of May, but it could be June. Or it could be earlier March.
Every month.
January, every month. So how much would it be worth?
That's 60 to 80 euros.
Search your drawers, missus. You might have some.
The other one on the other point, other one came in at the show. This has come into the show and the condition is so perfect.
It's a lot better,
You can actually see his hairdo. You can see the hairs on his head, literally. And it's about 500 euros.
Wow.
Because it's in such perfect...
And this is the one you're giving to me to keep?
Such perfect condition. That's it, yeah. To hang up on your wall, yeah.
Oh, I know where I'll be going
with
that.
As a touch piece, yeah.
It looks nice, doesn't it? But it's only a matter of time before money is gone. You know that, Michael.
Well,
we're going that way. Money, hand money will be gone. Yeah. I'd say 10 years' time, there'll not be sign of it.
You won't be going down with a wheelbarrow of euros to get the dart into Dublin, no?
Will not. Now, talk to me about De Valera medallions, please.
Yeah, well, you see, there's wonderful stuff around at the moment. I mean, look. That is the famous man, Michael Collins.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a huge coin.
And it's a 4-inch coin. It's not solid gold. It's only layered gold. So in other words, it's a base metal covered in gold.
Okay, let me describe it. It says Michael Collins on the circumference, and it's a portrait of Michael Collins, full uniform, and it looks like Dublin Castle behind him.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
1922 to 2012.
Okay. So they're celebrating 100 years of his death. Yeah, when he died in 1922. Lots of stuff out by Michael Collins. What I haven't seen coming up at the shows, what I haven't seen is the stuff that was produced for De Valera. De Valera was born in 1882, I think, maybe. So in 1982, there was 100th anniversary of his birth. There were coins issued. There were medallions, sorry, not coins.
Medallions.
Medallions issued. And it's about time they started surfacing. I mean, all sorts of other stuff has surfaced. Padraig Pearse Tenshillen pieces, all the various medals to do with the Easter Rising and the Revolutionary War from 1916 to 1921. But nothing has surfaced
so
yet.
We're looking for that.
Yeah.
And it's out there.
Oh, it is definitely.
Describe it very quickly.
A medallion. Medallions were issued by Spink. They were issued in Dublin. They were in bronze, silver, and gold. There were 10,000 of them issued altogether. And they should be surfacing at this stage. We're on the lookout for them anyway.
If you have it at home, please get in touch. Email Mooney at rte.ie or text right now to 51551. Michael is staying with us for the entire programme. You can email mooney@rte.ie or you can text 51551. Now, from a Cork woman just before the break to a Cork man, and this man has an absolutely amazing voice and has rapidly become Ireland's number one sold star. His name is Brian Deedy and he's just released his latest album on the Decca label. The title is Non-Fiction and in a moment we're going to hear him perform. He's been pretty busy since we last spoke, which was some time ago on the old Mooney Show.
That was probably 3 years ago, wasn't it? Yeah, three years ago. You had me on the show to perform a song called Lightning and Thunder. And at the end of it, you said, I think you should go on The Late Late. And lo and behold, 2 weeks later, I was on The Late Late. And it was an amazing milestone to get to. But there was more work to be done. And 3 years later, we're here.
And I gather it hasn't all been plain sailing during that time, despite The Late Late.
No, but being an independent musician's never straightforward or easy, and there was a lot of digging to do, and it's been an interesting journey, especially the last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I rewind this time last year, I hadn't put out any of the music, the new music that I'd been working on, so I was still an independent artist, and ever since I put it out, the wave of interest that came since I put it out in December was been unbelievable, the kind of organic support that the album got, and it's been an amazing trip and journey ever since.
And what's happening for you now?
So we just did a couple of Whelan shows. We're doing the Opera House, Cork Opera House, for the Guinness Jazz Festival tomorrow night, and that's another landmark, another milestone for me to headline the Opera House. I've done supports there a good few times over the years, so to be doing your own show there is a massive thing for us, and the band as well. So it's really exciting. We're super looking forward to it, and I think there's going to be a good crowd there. It's going to be a good vibe.
Now, a little bird, because I'm very pally with a lot of little birds, but a little bird has told me that you're spending a lot of time in London at the moment, and I'm assuming that's a good thing.
I'm assuming so as well, actually. Yeah. I mean, I'm doing a lot of writing. I mean, my management's there now, and the label, Decca Records are there as well. So yeah, I mean, it's good to be over there and meeting new people and writing with new people as well. And in the realm of being a solo artist, I've always written on my own. So it's interesting to be introduced to these other writers and really, really talented people. Like, so it's great to be involved in that community as well. Like, so it's a good place to be. And I still get my West Cork time as well. I still get to be a bogger, it's great crack.
Well, despite being from the depths of West Cork, the influence of soul music is what makes your music what it is, and how I came across you first, listening to you being played on the John Creedon Show. Are those influences as strong as ever on this new album?
Yeah, I've dug a lot into the soul thing, and a lot of the Chain Gang sound and kind of rootsier vocal harmonies. I spent a lot of time working on harmony kind of arrangements, and I spent a whole year actually working on some of those things. So that really helped me when I went into the studio and I wanted to kind of craft the overall look of the album and how it was supposed to sound. And the main thing was harmonies and obviously lyrics as well, like at the forefront. 2013 was another interesting kind of a period where I kind of got The Late Late, and that was great. But I also felt like I had to do a lot more work, so I dug a lot into myself and my own personal history, and I just did a bit of digging, and I found lots of things on the way, and kind of followed my nose in it, and the album itself talks a lot about personal relationships I have, and it is quite an introspective album, actually. You've got Clap on one end, which is quite happy, quite kind of pop, but there's an element of the narrative in that is just a sense of struggle involved there. And when I wrote Clap Out My Hands, it was a time when I was struggling in music. Like, it was actually just after 2013. And, I just brought all those different feelings and emotions together on that record. And I'm really happy with the shape of it and the kind of the journey that it takes for me emotionally. Like, I think that's important to kind of go through the different motions. So there's lots of stuff in there.
So things are going really well for you by the sounds of things. Are you still enjoying it though?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a different pace to what I've been used to, obviously I'm a lot busier now but I am enjoying it. I have to, every now and again, I have to step back and go, Jesus, this is class. Like, look around. So it's a great time.
And what are you going to play for us now?
Yeah, it's the current single. It's called Clap Out My Hands.
Brian, thank you very much indeed for coming in your own time, please.
Thanks a million.
Oh, whoa, oh, wait. Oh, whoa, oh, whoa, oh, wait. Oh, whoa, oh, wait. Oh, whoa, oh, wait. Where the devil gonna let me clap on my hand? Clap on my hand. He won't let me dance. No, the devil won't let me clap on my hand. Clap on my hand. He won't let me dance. Well, the devil won't let me stomp on my feet. Stomp on my feet. He won't let me beat. No, the devil won't let me stomp on my feet. Stomp on my feet. He won't let me be now. But I'll run away. I'll run away with you. Clap on my hand, clap on my hand. He won't let me dance, no, the devil won't let me. Clap on my hand, clap on my hand. He won't let me dance. Well, the devil won't let me stomp on my feet. Stomp on my feet. He won't let me beat, no, the devil won't let me stomp on my feet. Stomp on my feet. Let me tell you that he won't let me dance. He won't let me dance. He won't let me dance. Yeah.
Brian Deedy, thank you very much indeed. And more details on our website, rte.ie/Mooney. Michael wants me to mention Wexford Sunday, November the 6th, the Talbot Hotel in Wexford. I think that's where Funny Friday came from yesterday. Were you?
It was in Wexford, that's right. Yeah.
Or were they in Waterford, were they? Oh, they were in the Tower Hotel, no.
Oh, Tower. Oh.
Ah, yeah.
Close, but same area.
Yeah. Roughly anyway, look, sure, the Talbot Hotel in Wexford. Books fair with coins, banknotes, antiques and collectibles, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Now, there is an admission fee of a brand new €2 coin.
That's it,
all right,
yeah.
Not a collectible one. And Michael's going to be there giving free valuations on coins, banknotes, medals, medallions, stamps and other collectible stuffy things, and the valuations are free. So we'll have those details on our website. Hi, Derek. I've been teaching for 41 years in my present school. Congratulations to you. I was 65 last week. In my final year, my boss gave me 2 bottles of wine, says Raymond in County Meath. Ah, well, it's not a lot. But anyway, I suppose it's numbed the pain.
Yeah.
Hi, Derek. 30 years full-time unbroken service at... I won't mention the bank. No phone, no flowers, no lunch, says Mary. Well, that's the pits. Oh, I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all, I must say. Now, let me take you back. to
you put to word after this guy. You end a word after O, you put to word after R, and it's away we go. Put to word after Z, and put to word after E, a word after L, a Zell after word, and you're left with me.
Now, you remember him? Wurzel Gummidge? That lovable, mischievous, walking, talking scarecrow with both a heart and a brain of sorts from the TV comedy of the early 1980s. I used to watch it when I came home from school. I wonder what he'd make of all what's going on in Lepp in County Cork this Halloween weekend. Kathleen Womans, hello to you!
How are you, Derek?
Well, I'm better now for talking to you because I was down in Lepp last year and I met you last year, and now I'm talking to you on the radio again. So tell everybody what's going on in Lepp.
We have a scarecrow festival going on, which is basically everybody's making scarecrows and putting them up all around the village.
Yeah.
And there's just wonderful creatures all over the place.
Now, they're not scarecrows as we know them when we see them in farmers' fields. Describe what you have there.
Well, no, some of them would be like that, and others are works of art, and there's all kinds. There's works of art, there is proper normal scarecrows, there is bales turned into creatures, there's all kinds of creatures, really.
Oh, come on, describe them for me, Kathleen.
Okay.
Have you got the Donovan? Is it the O'Donovans or Donovans, the twins who won in the Olympics?
We have them, yeah. And they were their permanent residents at this stage. And then the school they went to in Lachine, they made a witch and they put them. They put the witch on the back of the boat, and on the back of the witch it says, "Which way to Tokyo?" And witch spelt as in scary witch, not in...
Scary witch, you
know, yeah. Yeah. Then we've got... it's very hard to pick one out.
Mind your language.
But we've got a lady climbing in or out of an upstairs pub window. I think she might be trying to escape, but I'm not sure.
Mm.
Then we've got a few giants, and we've got one humongous giant made out of bins, wheelie bins. Now, he's as tall as a building. Then we have, what else do we have? We've got a Stone Age man. We've got a crow, which is the size of a house.
Oh, yeah.
A small house. We've got clowns. We've got the BFG. We've got
clowns aren't very fashionable nowadays.
A few scary Trumps around the place.
A scary what?
Trump.
Donald Trump. Be careful now. He may well get into the White House yet. You never know.
Oh, stop!
And he might want to come and visit Lepp. Tell me, last year when I was there, you had the Elfella who'd fallen over.
Oh, yeah.
Tell the listeners about the elf who'd fallen over.
Yeah, we have him again this year.
Describe
him.
He's
recycled. This was done by kids, and it's basically a man that's fallen over with his head stuck in the ground.
And people are passing by thinking it's for real, don't they?
Well, yeah, last year, in fact, we just heard recently that the guards stopped. I hadn't heard that, but the guards had actually stopped thinking it was somebody real. And within half an hour that he was put down there, this other strangers that were passing drove up into the local pub to tell them, look, there's somebody in trouble down the road. Butcher, he caused loads of controversy. So we had to put him up again.
Now, I remember last year I went down on the Sunday and there were lots of people passing through the town and getting out and having cups of coffee and walking around just admiring and having their photographs, selfies taken with the scarecrows. And it was just a great idea. Now, I know you're not the only scarecrow festival taking place in Ireland. There are many taking place around the country. People can feel free to text 51551 and tell us about their scarecrow festival, and I'll try and give it a mention because it's a great idea to get people in the community interested. But how many scarecrows are there versus how many people are actually living in Lepp?
Well, last year we had in the hundreds. We had 196, I think, was the last count. This year, the competition, we had something like 220 registered for the competition, but it was judged early this morning, and this evening I was driving down to the village, and there is still people putting up scarecrows. So I think we're up near 500 or something
My
like
goodness,
that.
My goodness, that's fantastic. There's somebody ringing you to tell you that you're on the radio, as if you didn't already know.
Probably, yes.
No, probably about it. I've been there. It's a small place. But look, we wish you the very best of luck. So Halloween is on Monday night, isn't it? So you're going
to
drag this out until when? You're really going to milk it. I mean, when? How long is it going on for?
Well, the 5th of November, what we're doing is we're dismantling all the scarecrows.
Right.
And we're putting all the, for the recycling. And then we're having a big bonfire. And they're all going to get burnt.
On the 5th of November?
5th of November, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Listen, the very best of luck to everybody in Lepp and West Cork. Enjoy your Scarecrow Festival. Bye, Kathleen. Bye.
The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, we've got tons and tons of emails in for you, Michael. I have a coin with 196 on it only, and I'm sure the last digit was not removed. I got it in till of my uncle's shop about 50 years ago. What do you think? Now, we don't have an image of it.
Yeah,
it just says I have a coin with 196 on
it. Yeah, it should have been 1963 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 8. So obviously something happened and the digit didn't get minted on.
Okay, so it must be worth something.
It makes it worth probably instead of being worth 2 cents, it makes it worth about €5.
Come on, Mike.
Yeah, €5. On. €5. Yeah.
Lindenberg coin.
Alcocken Brown. Yeah,
Alcocken Brown. Yeah,
they're interesting. I'm assuming it's in bronze. And if it's in a presentation case and it's bronze, it's 20-25 euros. If it happens to be a silver one, it's probably €50.
Anne in Bantry, an 1845 farthing coin of Samuel Vickery of Skibbereen.
Yeah, this is a token because the king or queen didn't think their head was worth being on any metal except silver or gold. So it was always a shortage of copper coins, and the local blacksmiths and haberdasheries and places made these coins to give us change. It's interesting. It depends how worn it is. Usually 5 to 6 euros.
There's a word I haven't heard for a long time.
What?
Come on. Think. What did you say there? Haberdashery.
Haberdashery, yeah.
I haven't heard that since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Is there still such a thing existing to where you can buy your little bits of thread and needles and stuff?
These tokens were like credit notes. Like if you came in with a penny and you bought a farden's worth of lace for your curtains, he didn't have 3 fardens to give you as a change. So he gave you these self-produced ones.
What is the value of a 1966 Pierce 10-shilling piece in perfect condition?
€18.
Asks Norma, €18. Yeah. I have $1,000 Confederate note. Is it worth any?
They're usually fakes. Peggy. Yeah, they're usually just souvenirs.
Well, no, it may
souvenirs.
Not be a fake. I mean, it could be real.
Well, yeah.
You're saying it could be a fake. The woman throws it away. Somebody finds it.
If it's a real one, it's €3,000.
So could she bring it in and get it valued?
Yeah, absolutely.
Get it valued.
Yeah,
who should she go to wherever she lives? It doesn't say where she lives.
If she bought it in America in the last 40 years, it's unlikely.
Doesn't matter, get it valued.
Yes, absolutely.
Who should she go to?
She should come to us. Where is she? It doesn't say where she is. If she's in Wexford, drop into the Talbot Hotel next Sunday, tomorrow week. Yeah.
Okay, Kathleen Clark, 1916 medal. What value?
Very interesting. Kathleen Clark was the wife of Mr. Clark, who was shot, Thomas A. And she was actually the first Lady Lord Mayor of Dublin. Would you believe that? Again, it depends on the metal. I'm assuming it's in bronze. Because of the 1916 interest, we could be anything. I'd have to see what the size of it, what it's like. Usually they're sort of palm-sized coins. Again, anything from 30 to 80 euros.
If people send in more emails, can we pass them on to
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'll answer everything.
@rte.ie. Now listen, before we get on to the quiz, we're lining up all the players. I want to mention the passing of Jimmy Perry, who has died at the age of 93. Who was Jimmy Perry? Well, he's been described as the Goliath of British comedy writing and was behind some of the longest running and best loved sitcoms of the 60s, the 70s and the 80s. Shows like It Ain't Half Hot Mum, Heidi High, and of course, Dad's Army.
I tell you, Wilson, they're a nation of automatons, led by a lunatic who looks like Charlie Chaplin.
How dare you compare our glorious leader with that non-Aryan clown?
Okay.
I am making notes, Captain. And your name will go on the list. And when we win the war, you will be brought to account.
Write what you like. You're not going to win this war.
Oh, yes, we are.
Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, yes, we are. Whistle while you work. Hitler is at work. He's up army, so's his army. Whistle while you...
Your name will also go on the list. What is it?
Don't tell him, Pike.
Pike.
Army ran for 9 series over 9 years. Imagine that, with about 80 episodes in total. And at its peak, the programme regularly gained audiences of more than 18 million viewers. What X Factor? And Dancing with the Stars would give her 18 million viewers. They get that in an entire season. Anyway, Perry also wrote some of the themes to his series, including Holiday Rock for Heidi High and the unforgettable signature tune for Dad's Army. Who do you think you're kidding, Mr. Hitler? And he persuaded vaudeville entertainer Bud Flanagan to sing the song for a fee of, you'd know about this, 100 guineas, Michael. Yeah. About 2,000 euros in today's money, I'm told. Mm. Not bad for a day's work, because literally, I saw the documentary, he walked in, Bud Flanagan, they gave him the lyrics, he sang it, and that was it. And off he went, put his hat back on and marched out the door. They don't do it like that
anymore.
Gets
a half a cent every time it's played now.
Would you like to hear it? We'll give them another half cent. This is Bud Flanagan, accompanied by the orchestra of the band of the Coldstream Cards.
Of the Coldstream Cards.
Who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler, if you think we're on the run? We are the boys who will stop your little game. Brown goes off to town on the A21, but he comes home each evening and he's ready with his gun. 'Cause who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler, if you think all England's...
It's Saturday, it's the Mooney Show. Time to play Mooney's Saturday Night Quiz.
Yes, it's Saturday. It's time to play Mooney's Saturday Night Quiz. And I can tell you that we don't have any of the coins or medallions or the fancy stuff that Michael has. And he's got a whole display on the table here in front of me. None of that to give away. Sinead, do you know the prizes by any chance? Please tell me you do, because I've forgotten. It's Killinarden.
It is indeed. It's the Heritage in Killinarden in County Leash. It's a 5-star hotel and it is beautiful. Absolutely stunning place. Very, very nice. So we'll have a very, very lucky winner. Whoever gets this trip away, they'll enjoy it.
Okay, you're our scrutineer today.
I am indeed.
You'll be getting it in the back of the neck if people have a dispute, you know, a kind of steward's inquiry sort of thing.
Fire at the ready.
But anyway, Michael can look over your shoulder and help you out. Who's player number one, please?
Player number one today is Claire Farrelly from Kells in County Meath.
Hello, Claire Farrelly. How are you getting on today?
Hi, Derek. How are you? I'm fine.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm married with 3 children.
Mm-hmm.
One working and 2 in college. And I'm a stay-at-home mother. And
So you're the busiest of the lot, no doubt.
Pardon?
You're the busiest of the lot.
Oh, I think so. A taxi driver.
Well, that's what usually happens to mammies and daddies who stay at home, because there are plenty of them nowadays too. Any hobbies or interests?
Yes, I play a lot of golf and I play a lot of tennis and I'm an avid reader, so yeah.
Oh, what golf club do you play for?
I play for Delvin Castle in County Westmeath.
Okay, because I was coming through the airport a few weeks ago and I noticed all these ladies, and it turned out they were from a golf club, and by God, were they fit.
Yeah.
Oh, they were chasing their bags around the carousel and whipping them off and out. I was lagging behind.
They were looking to go abroad, obviously.
Huh? They must have been away representing, I'm sure. I think it said Bettystown on their sweaters. And they had lovely uniforms. They were all very nicely turned out, I must say. I'm sure it was Bettystown Golf Club.
Yes.
So have you won anything? I mean, could you be making a fortune? Can you go pro like Katie Taylor did during the week?
No,
you can't.
No, just inter-club competitions, all right, and inter-provincial,
And do they ever have kind of table quizzes in the club or anything like that?
They do, yeah. We're a small club, so, you know, we're trying to keep going in the recession like everybody else, so... We have fundraisers, all right, so we do have table quizzes, yeah.
And do you take part? And are you any good?
I support it, not saying that, but you'd be on the team, so you'd have a lot of help.
Well, now, if you're on Mastermind, I'd be asking you for your area of special interest. Do you have an area of special interest?
I suppose reading, really. I mean, reading.
Any particular genre?
Crime.
Crime. Oh, this is going to suit you right down to the ground, this list of questions.
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, I'm telling you, look, what's your favourite crime novel?
Well, anything really by Harlan Coben.
Okay.
He'd be my favourite author.
And what was the latest one you read?
God, I can't think. I read a lot, so I can't even... Broken Angels is one, but I can't even think now, yeah.
And if you were going to the movies, would you go and see a thriller?
Well, yeah, I don't really go to the movies at
all. Why don't you? People should go to the movies. Forget about all this Netflixy stuff. If you want to enjoy a movie properly, you should go to the cinema.
Oh, I know.
And experience all the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the tears, the laughter with the crowd. I go every single weekend. I love it. Yeah, and you know, in a lot of cinemas now, they've got a cheaper night on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night.
Okay.
Check your local cinema for wherever they have that cheap night. It's usually about a fiver. Anyway, 60 seconds on the clock. Sinead, are we ready to start?
We are indeed.
60 seconds on the clock for you, Claire Farley from Kells in County Westmeath. If you don't know the answer, say pass as quickly as you can and we move on and we give you a bash at the next question. Best of luck.
Thank you.
What is mozzarella?
Cheese.
Which team did Dublin beat this year in the Senior Football Championship?
Mayo.
Audio, listen to this clip and identify the Irish musician and music coach who recently turned 36.
If anyone didn't feel that, they should check their pulse, and that's the truth.
Frezzy.
What creature is a Rhode Island red?
A caterpillar. A butterfly.
Which is further west, Kerry or Donegal?
Kerry.
What musical instrument was associated with the late Louis Armstrong?
The trumpet.
Can you name this Eagles hit?
No, it's not Lionized. I can't think. No, go on.
Who wrote the series of books about Adrian Mole?
Can't think.
What band did Robbie Williams first play with before his solo career?
Take That.
What Norwegian company owns a chain of garages in Ireland?
Statoil.
On what race course is the Irish Grand National run?
Ferry House.
All right, you did very well indeed. Are you nodding in agreement with me?
I
there?
Am indeed.
Don't say what she got.
I won't, but she did extremely well there indeed. Very, very impressive.
So in this case, she's got to hang on, not hang up. So hang on there, Claire. Who's next, Sinead, please?
Player number two is...
Is it Joe Fitzgerald in Cork?
I think it is Joe Fitzgerald in Cork.
Joe, how are you, Joe?
I'm good. How are you, Derek?
I'm not bad at all. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so very similar to the first caller. Married, dad of three, 20 years married last year. And I work from home for a small company called Apple.
Oh, for Apple?
Yeah.
You got all the money. Tell me, and so, I mean, it's great to be able to work from home.
It's different.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're able to be there for the kids and all that kind of stuff and still get the job done.
Exactly. Well, like, if I'm working, I can't duck out or anything like that. It's very,
It's
it'd be like you, if you were working near home, you'd still have to do the job and then, but it's good. I enjoy it.
Yeah,
less wear and tear on the car.
Do you know the first person I came across who told me they worked at home was a lady on a train in Amsterdam. She was going to Den Haag. That must be 20-something years ago, and she was working away. There, just got chatting to her. She told me she was actually working from home, so she could come into the office late. But she still worked. So the time she worked on the train, okay, which is an hour and a half journey or 2 hours, I can't remember, was put against the time she would spend in the office.
Oh.
So she only had to spend the remaining few hours in the office, and then she could come home early and work the rest of the hours. Very good. And I said, well, how did they know? And they said, well, when you log on, you're working.
Yeah.
So you've actually clocked in when you've logged
on. Exactly, we clock in, same. Clock in, clock out.
Anyway, listen, 60 seconds on your clock.
We're
going to clock you on now, and your time starts now. Which Irishman played the role of James Bond 007 in the film GoldenEye?
Pierce Brosnan.
Benito Mussolini led the which country during the Second World War? Name this famous actor from the movie Jaws who celebrates his 69th birthday today.
A shark is attracted to the exact kind of splashing and activity that occurs whenever human beings go in swimming. You cannot avoid it.
Pass. What piece of computer hardware connects a computer to the internet?
Ethernet.
Where did King Arthur hold court?
King Arthur, I can't think, the round table.
Is the changing shape of the moon called its phrases, phases, or its periods?
Phases.
Can you name this Eagles hit?
Desperado.
Where is Oscar Wilde buried?
In Paris.
What does the German word Willkommen mean?
Welcome.
In which country is the Jutland Peninsula?
Jutland, Scotland.
What ship did Charles Darwin make famous?
Can't think.
An Garda Síochána was established in the 1920s, 30s or 40s?
Oh, we'll go 20s.
20s, all right, well done. Actually, I met a very nice Gardaí at a checkpoint today. They're out busy as... And they were very pleasant. So hang on there, you did very well. Don't hang up. Sinead, who's number three?
Our final player today is Rory Conroy from Dean's Grange in Dublin.
Hello, Rory. How are you getting on today?
Hello, Derek. How are you?
Tell me a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, similar to the other contestants, also got three children, so that's a bit of a snap. Work in Dublin here. I'm a lawyer, but I work for an insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty active, getting ready for... I'm actually running the marathon tomorrow, so
hey,
I'm a bit
good
about
man.
That.
Where's my bell? Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Well, best of luck to everybody running the marathon.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you.
In fact, I see the markers all around Dublin when I was driving down today, and I'd love to be able to do it. I just wouldn't last. I wouldn't even make a 5K.
I'd be lucky to make 1K.
Yeah, well, no, you're fit, Sinead. You walk a lot, but have you been training much?
I've done a bit now. I would have, a year ago, I would have also been like you, Derek. I would have said I couldn't do it. But, you know, once you get... Once you start practicing and do a bit of training, it actually, you know, I'd say it's probably not as hard as you might think it is. But I only do it once. I won't be doing it again, that's for sure.
Well, did you go from couch to 5K and then onto the marathon, or did you just go straight into the marathon?
Couch to kind of 10Ks a couple of years ago, and then stretched it a bit.
Three
far,
kids. Yeah. You're a real man. Anyway, are you ready? 60 seconds,
I think, yes.
On the clock, starting now. With which sport do you associate Darren Clark and Padraig Harrington?
Golf.
In the film The Wizard of Oz, what was the Scarecrow looking for?
Heart.
Name this character who was voiced by Dan, who turns 59 today.
Marge, I swear I didn't touch her. You know how bashful I am.
What was the first? What was first issued in 1950 and allowed people to purchase goods and services with plastic?
Credit card.
What is the correct term for the arms of an octopus?
Don't know. Pass.
What is the county town of Westmeath?
Mullingar.
Can you name this Eagles hit?
No, don't know. Pass.
What word is given to a space that is totally empty?
Vacuum.
Who wrote The Odyssey?
Homer.
Manila is the capital of which country?
Philippines.
A red admiral, peacock and cabbage white are types of what?
Butterflies.
Who walked to London with his cat?
Dick Whittington.
Name the smallest of the Aran Islands.
Inishere,
well done, you got that one right. We're going to totty them all up and we'll be back after this little break.
The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1.
Dad's Army's on BBC Two tonight at 8:30, in case you're wondering. It's like Mrs. Brown's Boys and Father Ted. It's rerun. Anyway, have we got a winner, Sinead?
We have indeed. Our three players today, very quickly. Claire Farrelly in Kelsing County Meath had a score of 8 out of 11. Joe Fitzgerald, our second player from Tremor, got a score of 5 out of 12. But our winner today
is...
Rory Conroy! Dublin, who scored a fantastic 10 out of 13.
So Rory, well done. Congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
Didn't think you were going to get there. I think that you got all the ones after the ones you didn't get right. Oh, that makes sense.
No, correct. Absolutely.
Correct.
A false start and then
an early stumble, that's right.
Yeah, late beginning.
Scarecrow is a stupid one.
All right, bye. That's all we have time for. Thank you to Michael. Thank you to Sinead. We had Kira Murphy on sound. Our researcher is Elaine Carraher. Sinead Renshaw is a broadcast coordinator. And Anna Lady producer. We'll do it all again next week. Visit the website rte.ie/Mooney. Goodbye.
Follow us on Twitter @RTE Mooney.